What do you want from us, monster? And the monster bent down and said, I need about 350.
What's 350?
$3.50.
350? He wanted money?
That's right. I said, I ain't giving you no 350, you goddamn Loch Ness monster. Get your own goddamn money.
I gave him a dollar.
She gives him a dollar.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap. Finally, we got a guest on here, very special guest. We got Greg Thomas back, and had a great interview with him. Chatted up all things Canada and a few baits and whatnot. We'll get into that later, but sitting here with me, we got the whole Mott crew up. We're ripping a big old bender weekend this weekend, musky fishing only, sleeping maybe, and it's going to be a blast, and it's already begun. We're recording late. This podcast is coming out late. Apologies on that. I've been guiding a whole lot. Haven't found a lot of time to get these interviews in, but still getting them out. And, well, without further ado, let's introduce the other members here on tonight. We got none other than our very own, the blessed Brian Eggle. How you doing tonight, Brian?
I'm doing fabulous. I had a long, hard week of rehab after our little golf weekend with a bunch of dudes there last weekend. Took me a few days to recoup. Came down with a little bit of a throat cold. Lost my voice. Sounded like Tommy Lee Jones for a few days, which was sick. And now I'm back to normal. And, yeah, got up here tonight. Got on the water for a little bit. I was hearing some murmurs from the guys that the bite was hot right when I arrived. And then maybe about 7-8 minutes in, I got slammed both sides. So fun night there. We'll recap this whole weekend and next pod. But, yeah, looking forward to the week ahead. And sitting right to my right here is Max Manti. Max, how we doing?
I'm doing good. Sounds like you're still under the weather a little bit, if I had to be quite honest with you there. I'm glad you didn't finish your story about when you got up here and hooked that fish both side. Did not make it into the net, unfortunately. Fully airborne, very stout, tall, 43, 44 incher. Would have been a nice little 34. Welcome back to the North Woods, but unfortunately that happens. Yeah, tonight was crazy. I mean, a lot going on in the musky world this weekend. We have the Alliance tournament that's kicking off tomorrow morning. So for those of you that are fishing in that National Championship Musky Tournament kicks off tomorrow. For those of you that are fishing that and listening to this podcast, hopefully you already have a fish or two in the bag. I will say this. I mean, if the bite continues to be what it was this evening, there might be close to 1 million fish caught. Today, yesterday, the fish were going nuts. This kind of bottom dropping out yesterday, I want to say it was, when some of the clouds, rain rolled in, pressure dropped. Those fish really started kicking off and going. Tonight was a blast. Like Brian said, we'll kind of recap the full weekend here next week, but we had a nice warm welcome back to the North Woods for Brian, for myself. I did manage to put a handful of fish in the bag today. Had a lot of action in a short amount of time here this evening. Fun times all around. Interview with Greg was obviously a blast. Hope you guys enjoy it. Let's see. Is there any other items, Gus, you want to touch on here before we hang on. Are there any other items you want to talk about here, Gus, before we kick off this interview?
No, not a whole lot other than just like Max said, the bite in the North Woods has been super good. Our water temps have knocked down to anywhere from 71 down to about 68, 69 or so. And the fish have slid in. It is a cold front where they went shallow as opposed to deep, and love to see that. We've been getting some fish in the slop. I've already had a couple splashdown eats. None of those have been boated yet, unfortunately, but I love to see that. Love finding fish way up in there. I feel like that's just a bite I now always look forward to every single year. And For the most part, I'm just going to be going to any stained lake, any color stain, just find dirtier water and go fish the weeds and go fish the inside weed edges, you know. Windblown has been that was very good tonight. That was very prominent. Prior to that, I was going to say, like, honestly, I didn't see a difference between the two, because this morning we got our fish, one on windblown and one in slack water. But, man, they're both of them are next to just some of the shallowest weeds. Some of the deeper weeds have already started to kind of die off, that cold front that knocked the water temperature down and everything. Some of the deeper grass is kind of like going away in certain lakes, which and now the cold front has forced these fish like way up in the green cabbage, tobacco cabbage, any of the shallow stuff. So I'll leave it at that. Good luck to everybody this weekend fishing. And Max, you got one more thing to say before Greg interview?
Yeah, I mean, our first musky bender really of the season here. Brian, I know that you always like to give a little Vegas odds on what you think could happen this weekend. What do you think is going to be the biggest fish in our boat this weekend for the bender? What do you think is going to be the biggest fish caught in the National Musky Championship here in northern Wisconsin this weekend as well?
That's a tough question. I was going to put our line. I mean, last time we did a mid-late summer musky bender last year, it was 47 and a quarter is what we ended up catching. So I think our line should be 47 and a half over under. For the national championship, I feel like someone gets close to 50 every year. I would put it at 49. For that tournament, and the way the bite's been going these last couple of days, especially tonight, just in the short time I was out on the boat, for us, for our small group here, I'm gonna put us at, I'd like to shoot, you know, reach for the stars a little bit, maybe put over under at 9.5 fish. We're gonna be in the water a lot. We're gonna be in the water a lot. Yeah, we'll count the two today. And then for the tournament, what, Gus, you got the, what was last year's tournament total? Fish caught?
Usually well over 100 fish between like the 1,200, 1,300 people.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go for the tournament. Let's make it hard on them. Over, under 220 and a half for the tournament. You guys are out there for a long time. Fish are chomping. Good luck to everybody.
Fantastic. Good luck to everybody out there, and also good luck to those fishing the MMT over on Leech. A lot of stuff going on here, so a lot of fishing. Gonna have a lot to recap next week. We'll see if we can get a guest on at all, but we'll actually be heading over to Tonka next week. That is already hitting. That I just realized that we were leaving in less than a week. So we'll be talking about that a whole bunch. And then, of course, after that, we'll have a recap. So everybody look forward to that. And here is the interview now with Greg Thomas. All right. Here on the line, we have our very own Greg Thomas. Good to have you back on. We've had you on once before, and we want to see how it's going in Canada.
I've been on more than once before. Shut up. I've been on more than once before. I was on with a group.
Have you?
Twice. You made a special appearance.
Oh, that's right. You just kind of...
I made a special appearance. This is all... Yeah, come on. Don't discredit me. Also,
All right. That's my bad.
I'm moving my screen so you can see my sexy candle burning behind me.
For those of you who cannot see our video here tonight, Greg is under a candlelight setting, laying on his side.
In bed. I'm laying in bed. It's like for you guys that are old enough, it's like Red Shoe Diaries.
I was gonna say I feel like I'm Skyping my high school girlfriend or something.
Well, it kind of could be. I mean, in the right light, I look like a really, really ugly or desperate lesbian. I look pretty awesome. I'm in my bedroom, or as I call the land of disappointment. And in high school, I called it Tug Valley. That was the name of the. Yeah, now that I'm older, it's just disappointing.
How's that for an intro, folks? All right, well, let's dive into some muskies here. You're up in Canada.
Yeah.
Give us the lowdown, high level, real quick to get us going here. How has the season been for you so far? We haven't seen you since Madison and all that kind of hoopla.
I haven't pulled any dead bodies out of Canadian water, so that's good. So it's going better than Madison did. I think it's been tough. But I don't, hell, I don't know. It's definitely slower than it was last year.
What are you finding different, or do you find any like?
Well, the water level's higher. The water level's but it's not much. It's just a little bit. But I don't know. I look for any excuse I can.
What area are you again? I know, but just for people listening,
I'm in the northwest angle, so I'm still in the U.S. But we're that little, thing up there that Canadians hate and Americans love. we're this little chunk of land that is still U.S. It's U.S. owned, but you have
to
drive.
Is that just Greg's land now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's yeah.
Land of old Greg.
It's Gregtoria, is what I prefer to call it. It's a neat little place, but. You have to drive through Canada. For me to go to the grocery store, I've got to cross an international border, which is fun. really fun.
You got to have your grocery list dialed in.
You do. If you don't, I just order everything on Amazon. Amazon emails me now if I don't order every day. They send welfare checks just to make sure I'm still doing good.
Do you, I don't know, does DoorDash exist up there? I can't imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, DoorDash, oh, really? Tinder. Yeah, Angle Tinder is really good. I mean, there's some good stuff there.
Yeah, I'd imagine. The DoorDash thing always cracks me up because, like, I order DoorDash damn near every Sunday. And, like, if I don't, DoorDash will send me a notification being like, hey, discount on Pad Thai from this restaurant if you want to order it right now. It's like, oh, shit.
No, we do not. No, DoorDash means you literally have to go to someone's house and see if they will feed you, which I have done before. But no, I'm up in the northwest angle. Fishing's a little, it's gotten better. It was cold early. We had a cool spring. And I don't know. I don't think it's... it's been tough, though, I will say that. Fish haven't been in areas they were last year, but I found a lot of new areas. But, I mean, we're getting some fish. I mean, we've had some tough streaks, I will say. But, it hasn't been, we haven't had as many of the, Lake of the Woods days where you see, like, 15, 20 fish and catch three or four. Mm-hmm. We've had a few of those. It got hot. We had like, I don't know, 2 weeks of, really hot weather. Water temps got up in the upper 70s. I don't think these fish like upper 70s up here.
Okay. I was just about to ask if that helped or made it worse.
Oh God. I think it made it worse, but I don't, you talk to another guy and he's like, oh, we killed him. Like, but they were fishing. They just found a pot of fish. I'm a big believer in you find groups of fish, especially in giant water like this. You're looking for those roaming groups of fish mm-hmm. and the structure that they decide to, make their home for that day or that week or whatever. I like in the summer, if it gets hot like that, I really like cold fronts. Anything that'll drop that temperature down, it usually fires them up. And then right now we're dealing with a little bit of a warm up after a cold front, which can make it, make it kind of goofy. But you know, in the traditional, you know, most guys when they come to Canada, they want to throw topwater and bucktails, right? I mean, that's the deal. And, you know, we're moving a few on those, but like today we got one on a dying dog off a Rocky Point, but we lost one on, you know, I think we probably seen, I don't know, 10, 11 fish today. Had missed one, had some, you know, fish following up grandma's, deep grandma's pretty good, and fishing deeper breaks, which is something you don't see a lot in Canada, or I don't. See a few guys doing it, but very rare. Most guys are looking for the bucktail topwater bite, which is, you know, it's fun, but, you know, in these warm-ups, I struggle with that stuff.
Yeah. Funny enough, the first time we had you on, we did not bring up the dying dog, and I actually got a few different DMs on the Muskies on Tap Instagram page from people being like, how in the hell did you not ask him about the dying dog?
And people slid into your DMs.
Yeah, they were sliding. So you opened the door there, and I guess I want to ask. I mean,
I'm going to put on
Carmack. How did that bait become what it is? I mean, how did you have the idea? How did you get it done? I mean, I'm not trying to discredit you by any means, but I mean, it's a pretty cool little invention, something very unique. We started using it quite a bit last year and had some success. We're up here for a musky bender weekend in the northern area of Wisconsin here, and I think it might be one of the first baits I throw when I get out on the water here this weekend.
Well,
so.
I like diving-rise jerk baits because being a fishing guide, and I've got damn near 30 years in. Gus, your forehead, are you losing hair?
Yes. I should have put the hat back on.
Yes, that is a lot of forehead just hit me. I like it. There we go.
Thanks, Greg.
No problem. There was a lot of forehead just came at me. I've always liked
nice diving candle, rice. Greg.
My candle. That is, let me see what flavor it is. Hold on.
It's a scent, it's not a flavor.
Oh, well, eat
it. Do you eat your candles? Do you touch the flame?
I do. I like to put it in my coffee. This is lavender sagewood, which, I mean, just a little tip out there for people listening. If you want to, you know, lay across your bed and smell something and talk to two guys about musky fishing, lavender sagewood is the one I reach for every time.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite.
I believe that.
That's one of my favorite flavors. Here I've got, I'm a big candle person. I love candles. What else do I got? I got backyard bonfire.
Stay with us, Greg, here.
Which smells
dying
like...
dog, remember?
Yeah, I have one more. I got one more. This is my bed. I got to get it scented up for if I have a rendezvous. This one is mahogany velveteer. It smells like a gym teacher. That's not my favorite one. Anyway, dying dog. I like diving rise jerk baits because, as a, you know, being a fishing guide for a while and stuff, gliders are not easy for people to work. They're just not. You know, guys say, "Oh, I can hand this glider to anybody," and I'm like, I guarantee you, I can hand it to somebody and they won't know how to work it. It just gliders are not hard to work, but a dive and rise, literally anybody, you know. And I just tell guys, well, how do you want me to work it? Do you want me to go short or long? I'm like, just make it stop and go. I don't care. Just make the damn thing go stop and make it go. And that is all that matters to me. And so I wanted to do something stop and go, but I like, you know, the other thing is like, okay, so Suic, when they made the sideways Suics or whatever those are, you know what I'm talking about? They got the ones where they painted the paint job of the fish sideways on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought, well, shit, you know, and the other thing is, you know, you see fish in the water when they're dying, they're always on their side, right? I mean, when they're like not doing well, you never like look at a fish that's on its side and go, wow, that one's a strong swimmer. you know, it's not like you think that one's doing that one's got a lot going on for itself.
I think I see where you're going with and how you named it then.
Well, actually, it was a contest we did with Innovations.
Oh.
And I think Tom Dietz, actually. Do you know Tom?
I recognize the name. I don't know if I've ever
Tom
met him.
He used to work for Booker back when, you know, long, long time ago. Tom used to be the... I think he was GM for Booker. Basically, whoever you call, you know, you'd basically call Booker tackle and you'd, you know, hear some kind of weird jazz music on hold and Tom would answer the phone. That's basically what it was. And I don't know why we're talking about that. So I wanted something that was like sideways and incorporate. I love soft plastics. I've always really liked soft plastic baits. And so I wanted to try to make some type of tail for it that was rubber. So I bought the Larry Dahlberg Make Your Lure kit from
Omalite. Yeah.
Okay. So I always loved screwing around with stuff, playing around with stuff. And so I took some, I was down in Kentucky, not at the houseboat that you guys seen, but the one before that. And I just took clay and, you know, molded a, you know, a hunk out of, to make a head. And then I took and I just kind of shaped a tail and made it kind of, ramp deal, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Do the first ones on the tail, do they have those ridges or was it just like a straight soft plastic tail? Like
No. It had the ridges. I knew I needed the ridges in there. So I took a butter knife in the clay and just kind of cut these ridges out. And jeez. It had that, the original one, I've still got the original one in my boat shed. I called it, the name for it was Fugly because they were they were nasty. But yeah, I just, took the clay and then I made molds of it and I, you know, poured them myself and, figured out where to put the hooks or what I thought should be where the hooks should go and, started playing with the weight and, you know, the thing with the one thing that when I went to Musky Innovations, I went to Brad, I said, hey, I got this thing here. I am not someone who wants to make a bait, but if you want to try to do this and we can work something out, it would be, I think it would be good. The one I made was probably 10 inches, 11. I think the one that's produced is 12 inches. And what Brad did, you know, there's a couple things with it. One is that second hook has to be smaller or very short shanked, or it'll get caught in one of the ridges. Two, when we added that little lip that comes down on the bottom, in the back on that first ridge, that really helps that tail catch water and really gets it to kick. But yeah, no, it's been a neat bait. Actually, I was fishing today. I got Chase Gibson and some buddies from West Virginia that are up. And Chase actually had the West Virginia state record on a dying dog 2 years ago.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah. He's a very gifted angler. I consider him to be a son if he wasn't so goddamn ugly. But
yeah, I know that he always loved using those baits. We'd hear about him talk about that on Backlash and such.
There's the candle
that kind of piqued our interest more in them too.
Yeah, No, there. And then, you know, the other thing I started playing with when Chaos started making those weights, the hell are they called?
Deep threat weights?
Those, yes. I think. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. They were able to fit, because those weights, I really like those weights. And I was like, well, shit, I wonder if I could put one of those on it. And so I started putting those on the front hook, and that kind of gave the bait a whole new avenue of, you know, now instead of just being a shallow bait, that bait will, you know, you can get that thing down as deep as you want. It'll sink, and you just pop it, you know, giving it the little pops or give it full pulls. You really don't have to, you know, a guy can work a thing with little short pulls. He can work it with real long pulls. It doesn't matter. So, and that's what's nice about it. And it's always cool because the bait's caught a lot of really big fish. But guys, you know, it's most of the time it's guys, I get pictures from guys that are, you know, they're just, you know, they like it, but they don't want to talk about it. I'll just get like this, you know, it's kind of like the dude trying to sell you the watch into the trench tote to walk up the booth, kind of open the code a little bit, show me a picture and close it real quick. Nice. Being real sneaky.
Very sneaky. But you got any sneaky methods on how you like to work them? Maybe just for example, like right like now it's August.
I like to be in the boat, okay. First off.
Good start.
On
water?
On
the boat?
Well, I can be on the trailer. It's fine. It just doesn't look as good in the parking lot.
Back the whole chuck in too.
Didn't I heard a story? Wait, didn't you catch one on a Dine Dog like off of a dock when you were?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I had just got back from the Minnesota show, and so I had just gotten back, so I flew out of Louisville, and which is like 2 hours from Cave Run. So I landed at like 10 o'clock. I get back to the boat at midnight. And so the first thing I do is make a bait, because that's what people that aren't tortured and aren't on very high doses of medication do. So I made a bait, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if this thing will work. So I walk out, I step out onto the dock, and I got like an old, it was back, I had an old Pete Mena Bass Pro fishing rod, which I refer to as kindling. And I'm out there, and I'm like jerking it around. I just set it in the water, and I've got like I don't even have a headlamp. I've got like a flashlight in my mouth, and I'm looking at it in the water. And all of a sudden, there's just a giant splash. And I'm like, oh god, this is a muskrat. I'm gonna be pissed. And it ended up being like a 36 incher that I caught just right there off the dock. And I said,
nice.
Brad Rue a text. I said, I think this is going to be good. And then he, started making them. But yeah, no, that was the first fish caught on it. And in my, I was prototyping it that year. On my old original, I did get a couple of, on Detroit Lakes, I got a couple of 50 inch fish. On the super ugly one that I just kind of poured myself.
Nice. So,
no, it's I still got the mold. I actually ran across the mold the other day, or when I was down in Kentucky. So, no, it's a hell of a little bait.
I can't tell if back in the day you either did really well in science classes or really bad.
I know, here's my rule in life, is I know just enough to really fuck things up. And it could either go really good or really bad. But that's it. If you're making baits, because I've made a lot of baits, some are really good, most are really not. If you don't...
What's the worst bait you've ever made?
Oh my god. I made one time that looked... It looked like it was supposed to be a crankbait. It's my first time ever trying making crankbaits. And it looked like I don't even know how to describe this thing. It had this giant, it almost looked like a screwdriver head on it. And it was supposed to be a crankbait, but it became a jerkbait.
That's good.
And yeah, it broke probably the second cast I threw it. It had this big lip that went down and this round back end. It looked stupid. It looked like the Hartman musky bug. Have you ever seen that thing?
No.
Oh my God. Look up, do yourself a favor. Look up Hartman musky bug, Lynn Hartman. This thing, it looked like something you could literally flip pancakes with it. The bill on it was so big. It looked like a giant spatula. It's what Smitty now uses to make his file handles out of. Okay. His wooden handles are.
Oh, Hartman, yeah, we got it pulled up. We got it pulled up. Yeah, it looks. Yeah, you're right. It's kind of hard to. It's kind of hard to describe.
It's really good for getting like gum out from under a desk.
It's certainly something.
It's it is. Yeah, that was.
Oh my God. Has there been ever a muskie caught on that bait?
Oh yeah, Lynn Hartman, baby. That man, before I forget, he wrote a book, and I'm sure he caught something on it. I don't know. He probably didn't. Who knows?
Yeah, forgive my ignorance. I mean
you're forgiven.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Get a sandalwood candle and your lavender sandalwood. That's my suggestion.
I've written them all down. No mahogany, but no. Lavender. Yes.
Sounds like a gym teacher. Yes.
All right. Well, appreciate the little history lesson there and taking us back in time for you making that bait. I started using them really last year, and I think the first time I used one, I caught one. I was like, "Yep, this thing works," and I love the way they. I don't know. I mean, it feels like one of those baits that kind of, you know, definitely tough conditions, like for whatever reason, gets fish going. I don't know if it's that just like instant stop, tail flutter, bigger profile. I mean, it's kind of got a lot of nice, checks a lot of nice boxes.
It does a lot of neat stuff. You can work it shallow, especially now with, with 10-foot rods, and you do the old Kevin Nash up jerk with it. You can keep it high and work it over stuff. You can work it to the side. You can add a weight and get it deeper. It does a lot of neat stuff. It's definitely a cool little bait. It's got its own little niche market. It's a great bait to, you know, cast back on fish. It's been good for that, but you know, I'm not a big believer in the whole, you know, pitch back, you know, like a lot of guys always said, tubes, that's a great bait to pitch back on fish, you know, because they bite them. And I go, well, then why don't you just fish with it anyway, you fucking idiot? And if it's if it's because they bite them, then why, you know, no, if they're going to eat these things, I'm going to save it.
Yeah, they needed to see a bucktail first before they ate the tube. That's the only way they ate the tube, is if they see a blade first.
Exactly. I'm going to get to the boat. Oh, my God. What am I going to eat? I'll eat the squid. No, it's so stupid. I don't know. I never did understand that. It drives me crazy.
I got you. I do find that kind of funny. But, all right. Well, moving on here. Let's we got you. You've had some success out of Minnetonka. And what do we have coming up here? PMTT Trail, Lake Minnetonka, next week.
I know, and I got to catch a fish. I have not done shit this year. It's been a tough bite. I was talking to Pete Blickard earlier today, and we were both lamenting about not having anything. And it should be, you know, I don't know. I've been looking at the forecast. I think it's going to be warm. I don't know, what's the water temperature, Max? You live there. What's the water temperature out there?
I was out there on Sunday, and when we got out there, it was 72, a little over 72. And when I got off the water, right around 1, it was 73. So yeah. It was over 80 there for a bit, from what I heard. I wasn't out there and saw that, but I think I went out there right after we had that big cool down in Minnesota. And, you know, I think it kind of threw him in a little bit of a funk from what I was hearing from other people too, for a few days. But yeah, the water temp should be fine. I mean, I think looking at the extended forecast, there's a few days in like the low to mid 80s when it peaks out, but, you know, it's a big system. I think those water temps should probably stabilize around that like 75 to 77 by tournament time.
Yeah, it's gonna be warm. How dirty is there much algae out there?
Yeah, it was dingy. Most of the lake was pretty. I don't know if it's like a bloom, but it was a good like dinge. Obviously where, that lake.
What
I mean,
were
I'm
you,
not a.
What area were you fishing? Just between us girls, what's what lake? What area were you fishing?
We went all over, everywhere. Okay. So that was one of the weird. I mean, I haven't spent much time on Tonka. I've been able to get out a few times with my buddy Ryan this summer, and it was kind of crazy. Like you go through one of those channels, and it's like you're on a whole different body of water. Like you go from crystal clear to completely, you know, murky green, muddy type water. But most of it was pretty dingy, even in the clear areas. When I first fished it in June, where you could see 10, 15 feet down, that wasn't really the case. When I was out there on Sunday, it was pretty dinged up, which I liked. I mean, I thought that was definitely to our advantage, from previous trips out there where you could see the fish coming in from like 350 yards away. You just knew it wasn't going to eat, but it's fun to look
at.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, Tonka, I actually kind of like it. I don't like the boat traffic. I mean, it is a busy lake. I don't think, but, you know, the whole deal is, I think, you know, we don't like the boat traffic more than the fish. What the hell do they know?
Right.
You know, and, you know, whether it'll be a shallow bite or not, I kind of doubt it, but, you know, it just depends on what kind of weather we get before then. There will be some fish caught shallow because there just always is in that tournament,
for sure.
Especially the first. You know, the first hour in the morning, you'll get somebody that'll catch something up there. You get enough guys fishing it, you will. You know, I'm sure there'll be fish caught a bunch of different ways. I've got some ideas of what I want to do. We're getting there on Tuesday sometime. To start pre-fishing. I just, you know, the biggest thing out there, especially just for fishing's sake, is, you know, how bad the boat traffic is going to be. And two, you know, is it going to be calm or we're going to have wind? You know, I think that's going to dictate a lot of stuff too.
Every time I've been out there, it's been high, bright sun, black calm.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I mean, a few times I've been able to get out there, we have gotten out early a few of the times, and from about 6 to 10, it's great. 6 to 9:30-ish, 6 to 10, it's great. You can fish, you know, pretty much anywhere you want. But when that switch flipped and, you know, people started waking up and getting out on the water, it becomes a bit of a
fun.
Bit of a
it
shit show.
Fun. It's lovely. I love, you know, I cannot wait to see some kid in a backwards hat driving around in a wake boat listening to Jelly Roll. That is my...
I mean, you pretty much nailed it. I mean, when we were out there, we were fishing kind of a smaller section, and I think at one point in time, I counted there was like 6 or 7 wakeboard boats around us, all playing different music, a few country bands, a few rap music, like a few rappers.
Have
gone.
Have you heard Chibuzi?
I'm not a Chibuzi guy. I'm not familiar with this game.
Danny Haddock's very, very generous angler. Has got me in. He Chibuzi. I'm sure one of the people that listen to your podcast have listened to it, but I guess it's like the big. Chase was telling me on Detroit Lakes that was, or down in where he's at, or on Leech, that's the one to listen to, Chibuzi.
Okay, good to know. Good to know.
I thought you would like to know that. But if you want to listen to good music, because Chibuzi's awful, if you want to listen to good music, you need to listen to Old 60, not old, Ole. O-L-E. Yeah, 60. Listen to Smoke and a Light. Great song. That's a song that can be played at graduations, funerals, quinceañeras. Listen to that song.
Bar mitzvahs?
No, no, no. It's not that type of music.
Old 60, what was it? Old 60, light and
light bottom. No, smoke and a smoke light.
Smoke and a light.
Yes.
All right. We will be bumping that on our way to the you'll lake probably it. Friday morning, if I had to guess.
You'll get some finger snap. You'll get, your fingers will get snapping to that one. But anyway, I think Tonka, you know, I kind of enjoy it. I love fishing the deep weed edge stuff. But there is shallow water out there. I mean, the last time we fished it, it was me and Tony were fishing together, and we screwed up because we went and we trolled, and you know, Tony was wanting to find a trolling bite. My problem is in Minnesota, you know, I've got 20 years into Minnesota, over 20 years in summer fish in Minnesota, and you know, a consistent late summer trolling bite is something I've never been able to find on any of those bodies of water. And of course we go out there and we found fool's gold. We caught a big fish. I think we got a 51 trolling on like Thursday or Wednesday or one of the day. It'd been Wednesday because Minnesota wants to make sure you're in church on Sunday for tournaments. So it was fool's gold. I mean, it just, you know, it made us think, well, maybe there's a no, there wasn't. It was stupid. We ended up getting a fish. So Saturday we wasted so much time doing that. And Sunday I'm like, well, shit, here's what I was wanting to do while we were here. And we ended up doing it and ended up catching a fish, losing a fish, missing a fish. So yeah, it's frustrating.
There's a lot of them in there. I mean, I was trying to look back. I mean, it seems like they've done a pretty decent job stocking it, but that was the first thing I noticed when I went there the first few times was, I mean, it seemed like there was plenty of fish to be had. I mean,
there's a lot of fish in Tonka, and you've got a good shot that somebody will, you know, I'll put money on somebody will break 50 inches in the tournament.
Oh, for sure. I'd be surprised if it didn't happen. Honestly. Yeah. I mean, just from my few times out there, I mean, there's some big ass fish kind of just roaming around in some pretty, you know, I don't want to say like obvious spots is probably the wrong way to put it, but like predictable areas. It's like, oh,
yeah,
okay,
there's that lake produces big fish every year. Typically they're not super heavy, but you know, you can. I got a client that sent me a picture one time of a giant he caught, you know, I would say a couple years ago, but hell, it could have been 20. Of a big, you know, some heavy ones out there. Typically they're not. I mean, those fish out there eat a lot of they're eating a lot of perch and a lot of sunfish and stuff like that, bluegills. It's a neat fishery. There's a lot of lakes, there's a lot of places to go. If you want to fish dirty water, you can fish dirty. If you want gin clear, you can fish gin clear. So, I mean, it does have a lot of stuff it offers people. I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's going to be a good tournament. I've always enjoyed fishing there. It just, you know, again, it's the boat traffic, you know, I mean, that's what it is. And the boat traffic bothers us way more than it does the fish. I don't think they really give a shit.
True. So do you think going into Tonka without a fish right now, will that change your strategy at all? Or is it just kind of same
no,
as you going?
No, it's same. I every tournament, I just want to catch a fish. And so it's not going to change what I'm doing at all. I know what I'm comfortable with doing, what I like doing, what I have confidence in doing. That's all great. I'm not gonna really change up what I'm doing to go, you know, hunt Bigfoot. So
yeah, well, we need you to get one so you can make your way up here to Eagle River.
I know, I've already got time off, I'm ready to go. I want to stay at the Triangle Motel in Three Lakes and, you know, see, you know, who's had non-consensual sex in those rooms at probably Knife Point. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of like, you know, you hosted us in Kentucky, maybe we'll host you up here. And
oh yeah, that too. That'd be great too.
Like a little more casual, you know, maybe just a quick grill out, a few
Yeah, or that. Gus, what's up with the sled up there behind you?
We got an array of decor here. I mean, you got your candle. Let's see. We got some hockey sticks. That's kind of the PMTT wall up there, and then there's just the sled.
The sled. So, Fred the sled. I like it.
Yeah, here Gus moves his five head. We can probably see.
Whoa. Watch your own bobber, pal. Keep it between the lines here.
You can see some of the decor here.
Is that just decoration, or does that sled have meaning?
There is no meaning behind it, to my knowledge. This is kind of Gus and I's little apartment, if you will, up here in the North Woods. So it's we should probably get the backstory on that. You know, let's see here. I mean, there's some hockey. It's very Norwegian themed, I would say. Some good Norwegian.
You got a lot
themes
of stuff on the fridge
throughout.
Too. You look like you got a lot of pictures and magnets.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of. A lot of pictures. There's actually some pretty good pictures there on that fridge. Few good ones. When you come over, we'll show you. A lot of shirtless dudes on that fridge. It's kind of
a lot of shirtless. That's my fridge is the same way. It's a lot of Polaroids, a lot of skin that looks like uncooked chicken.
I like to say these days I just kind of look like a bottle of milk, you know.
I look like the way I tell people where I describe myself is I look like you just like squeeze some cookie dough in a tube and it just kept that shape. That's my build right now.
Do you wanna tell the Madison story? You don't have to if you don't want to.
I'll save it for another one. That was, I haven't even told it on my own one yet.
Yeah. Well, first of all, what happened? You went dark on us there for like 6 weeks.
Oh my God. I'm such a freaking idiot. I thought, you know what? I tried to do a podcast with Todd Young from up in Chautauqua. And so I call Todd. He says, hello. I say hello. And then I lose him. I can't hear him. Like, we're doing this over Zoom and I don't know how to use Zoom. I know how to use this Zoom because I'm just talking to it, but like, I don't know. That's about it. So I've got like a little recorder that I do ours on, and it's got different channels and everything. And the way I hook it into my phone so that I can talk to people on the phone, I couldn't hear him. And I've had problems like that before, but it always worked itself out. You know, you wiggle the wires, you pull them, you do all kinds of things with the wires, and it just wasn't working. I'm like, oh God. I go, well, it finally died after 5 years. So I told Todd, I said, hey, I can't do this tonight. I gotta order. So I go to order stuff. It took forever to get stuff in, all brand new. And so I ordered everything except headphones. So then I go and I do a podcast again, and I'm like, I can't hear the freaking guy. What's going on? So I unplug my headphones, plug in a pair of cheap ass earbuds that you buy, you know, that like came with, you know, cereal, and I put them in and I heard everything perfectly. So all this time I'm waiting for all this new shit to get here to do this stuff. It was my friggin' headphones. So that's why I wasn't doing them, because I thought my stuff was broken. It wasn't broken. Only thing that was broken was me and my headphones. That's what happened. And I did one with Gus yesterday. It was very nice. I fell asleep. Really? At one point, Gus, I heard, I woke up to Gus going, Greg. Right.
I had not heard this.
And then I like come to and I'm like, well, I'm not going to tell him I was asleep. I just went right into something stupid.
I'm glad you've stayed with us this long here tonight. It's getting late.
It is getting late. Well, it was like midday. We'd taken a break. It was hot. I was like laying, in the same bed, different position, not as many candles. And I'm doing it and I'm like laid back and I could feel it happening too. I was like, oh God, don't go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. I went to sleep. So yeah, that's me.
So really quick, before we let you go here tonight, cause we will let you go to bed, and I don't know if this will open up a can of worms or not, but I know you've bounced around a lot in your guiding career. Obviously you're in Canada now, you do the Kentucky thing. I know you did the Western Minnesota thing. You still do the Western Minnesota thing in the fall and then Lake St. Clair. Mm-hmm. I think at one point in time you actually said you made a pit stop in like the Hayward area too.
I did. I worked for MENA. Oh my God, that was horrible. That wasn't fun.
Did you guide anywhere else besides those places?
Shit, I've been all over, man. I've done Vermilion. I lived at Mille Lacs from 01 to 07. Western Minnesota, Miltona, West Battle, Detroit Lakes, St. Clair in Kentucky. I've done Cave Run. I lived at Green River for a while. Yeah, I've always moved. I've always tried to follow the bite.
This is a pretty lame question, but did you have a favorite out of all those pit stops?
Not really. I didn't. I mean, I enjoyed them. They all were good. They were all good till they weren't, I guess, is the best way to describe it. I still enjoy the Western Minnesota stuff. I love live bait fishing. I think it's fun playing around with them. I like, you know, Mille Lacs was great. I watched those fish grow up, but I watched them, you know, not live anymore.
I saw an old video. I'm struggling to remember what it was called, but Bad Fish Outdoors, I think, maybe.
Yep. Bad Fish, me and Laura.
Yeah.
Me and Laura did it. Yeah. No, I was, you know, young. I still looked, you know, like I had a shape. That was a good deal. There was a lot of big fish and stuff there. And we were so stupid. Mille Lacs, no one knew kind of what it was. We were learning so much about those fish out there. That was back when everybody said, oh, Minnesota fish don't bite at night. Oh God. Here's the bottom line is that, you know, the fish do, muskies do everything everywhere. But yeah, that was back. Oh, they don't bite at night. So we're out there, you know, trying to hide headlamps and stuff to, you know, keep it a secret. Yeah, whatever. But it got stupid out there. You know, it was good. Caught a lot of fish on luncheon tails. That's kind of when they first started going. My biggest fish ever still is on a luncheon tail.
How big is that?
56 and a half. It was a July fish and we were burning bucktails. I hate the word burning because no one knows what burning. I mean, what the fuck? It all comes down to what kind of reel you're using anyway. Right. Then burning was with a Calcutta TE. So how fast was it really going? Trust me, not that fast.
What was that like? Like when you heard about this bite going on Mille Lacs and then you go there like for your first few times, like
But I never heard of the bite. I actually watched the bite and was part of the bite. I met Jason Hammernick through the PMTT. I was just getting ready to go to Hayward. I was living with Chad Kane back when Chad fished. Chad doesn't do any fishing anymore. And we lived in Hayward, and we lived behind Dow's Corner, which used to be a bait store, right across from Spider Lake Motel. And we, yeah, we fished up there, took some overflow from Pete. Yeah, it was, I guess I should say it was something. And
I mean, going from like the Wisconsin fish to all of a sudden stumbling into this super mega giant Mille Lacs stuff.
Yeah, Jason, you know, we got to know each other, good dude. And he said, well, you got to come to Mille Lacs and try Mille Lacs. I'm like, okay. So I went over there and we did, you know, fished it, really liked it. Figured there was probably a market there. I wasn't really digging the Hayward thing. And, yeah, just started. I lived in an ice shack for 2 years. My buddy, you know, Dominic had it. I lived in on Big Point, 2 summers. I spent in it, and it was really cool. When I got there was a ton of upper 40-inch fish. There was some 50s. I think my first summer there, I got 11 over 50, and I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I thought, well, it'll never get better than this, and it did. And then
they just kept getting bigger and bigger. They kept getting bigger,
and then in 05, when Brad Hoppy, or Kerry more than Brad, actually came out with the cowgirl, that's when it changed. And I was actually a little behind the eight ball on that one, a little behind. Jason's the one that first started fishing them. Brad come over to the cabin and like left two hanging on the door frame, and they probably hung there for a while. And then Jason grabbed two and went out fishing one night with them and caught two big fish. And then that's kind of how it got going from there. And then, you know, after that, we had about 2 years of just really stupid night fishing that, you know, you would, you know, hell. I mean, but we were night fishing, you know. Again, once guys talked about night fishing, they were like, well, they don't bite after, you know, oh, it's hard to catch them after midnight. Well, you know why it is? Usually because you go in. If you keep fishing, yeah. I mean, it's just, night fishing is just like day fishing. Sometimes they bite early, sometimes middle of the night, sometimes the end of the night. You know what? Sometimes they don't bite at all.
Yeah, just like the day.
And it's, you know, but I night fished. You know, I always tell people I have PTSD from out there night fishing because I freaking night fished, you know, a lot of days. I mean, there were years. There was about 3 years there. I don't know if I fished during the daylight. And I was fishing from 8, you know, I did a lot of 8 at nights to 6 in the mornings. I mean, a lot of, you know, eating lunch at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and blackout curtains and all that good shit. So
just dark always. That would be interesting to do.
Oh, it's not interesting. It's called awful. Don't do that. That is,
yeah, it does sound tough.
The human body is not meant to do that. I mean, you'll start experiencing things that you've never experienced before. You'll shit weird. It's not good. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, but obviously, like, the level of excitement had to have been pretty high pretty much every time you went out there to fish, because it's like any given moment you could just get a fish
of
that
caliber. Yeah, I mean, you could. Yeah, I mean, you'd run into some ridiculous ones, and to be honest, you didn't have to be, you know, early on, especially with that night stuff. I mean, if you could cast 30 feet, there's a good chance you're going to catch something, and there's a good chance that you're going to catch a really big one, because they were so stupid. It didn't take a lot of, you know, I mean, they were just so stupid. If you could find where they were, that was the whole key, is just finding the patch of fish and then just beating them up at night. It was crazy. I mean, you'd have some ridiculous, you know, and you'd get them on top water too. Don't get me wrong, but I always hated top water after dark because you just usually they just scare the hell out of you and you'd miss them. So, you know, bucktails or stuff like that were always good. And like I said, when the cowgirls come out, it was kind of, you know, before cowgirls, it was, I threw a lot of boo tails, single bladed boo tails, piercing grinders were good. But as soon as the cowgirl come out, it was all that. And then the supermodel, first supermodel fish ever came in my boat. Brad brought it over and it was a pink and gold thing. With the different blades on it. I mean, it had the old 13 blades on it. It was huge. But yeah.
What was your reaction to seeing a bucktail that size first time? Oh,
stupid. It was big. It was bigger than the one that they're making.
Yeah.
But we caught a fish. We got like a 43 incher on it. It was pink with gold blades. But yeah, it was crazy. But yeah, no. And we, you know, I was a part of some really cool stuff out there on Mille Lacs. I mean, we had so many big ones and like, you know, I remember, you know, the first night we doubled 50 inches. I thought, well, this is, you know, this will never happen again. And then, you know, then you get three and then you get, I think, you know, I had one night we got 350 inches in four casts. It was, you know, it was just stupid. So, but that's the way it was. That's the way that lake was. It's not like that now. It'll probably never be that way again. There'll be very few lakes that are. And some guys are doing it now, probably scope, you know, with the live scope stuff. You know, guys are doing some pretty crazy things. But, you know, I don't know. You know, you can debate that all you want. It's change. Shit. People are going to do what they're going to do. But, you know, I think some guys are doing that. I've seen some really, you know, I mean, the Minnesota state record fell to it. Nolan got it, which big damn fish out of Mille Lacs. But, yeah, Mille Lacs ain't near what it was. But, I mean, to be honest, my Western Minnesota stuff, as good as Mille Lacs was, Western Minnesota was better.
Sure.
For big fish.
Consistently wise, you said that you were just putting crazy numbers of fish.
Oh, yeah. Back early on, it was really good. You know, I had my best was I had 101 over 50 in 2 years out there. But it, you know, it's not that way anymore. But
is that just fishing in the fall too? Or is that kind of cumulative through?
That was cumulative, but a majority in the fall.
Gotcha.
But that was some summer fish. I'd probably get maybe in the summer, you'd get maybe a dozen. But the fall was way better. But we had some good days in the summer. We had a few like triple 50 days in the summer that were, you know, again, that's just stupid. But you'll get that every once, and it's not consistent. It never is. You just got that, you hit it right. And you know, and again, early on those fish would eat a boot if it went by them at the right speed.
You mentioned that obviously things have changed a little bit and you know, there's different tactics. I was curious to ask you, have you seen much of the live scope presence as far as the sharpshooting goes up in Canada?
No.
Have you seen that at all or no?
I haven't seen it at all. But I also don't see a lot of people, period. Sure. You know, I use live scope, but I don't use it as like a sharpshooting deal. I've never done the sharpshooting. I don't even know if I wouldn't be a good shooter, I don't think. I use it as just like as a regular sonar. I love the perspective mode. I use it as side scan, is what I do. And, you know, and if I, you know, if I see a fish swim by, of course I'm going to cast at it. It's not going to be like, you know, oh, there goes one. Everybody cast over here. Don't get near that goddamn thing. You stay away. You know, it's, you know, but I've never done, you know, the thing you have to watch for, I think, with the open water stuff is pulling those fish up from deep. Because I've done it, you know, back trolling years ago, we caught fish way too deep trolling, and I know they died. They had to, you know, they come up, them big bellies all bloated up. And
how deep are you running those baits when you talk about trolling deep?
Oh, God, who knows? I'd say some of them were down 20 feet, I would say. Because I was trolling a lot of bucktails then, and, you know, with big giant weights on them. And you know, and even though if the bait is down, let's say the bait's down 20 feet, shit, that fish could be down 35, 40 right. shooting up on it, you know, especially in some of these deep basin lakes out in western Minnesota. And when you run into that, that's when you got issues, you know. I want to be a TikTok star. That's what I've learned. I want to do that. I want to be, what I want to be is the Australian breakdancer, because that is probably one of the best things I've seen on social media, is the Olympic Australian breakdancer.
For those that missed it, what are you talking about there? I've seen the videos.
The woman in the Olympics that competed for Australia in the breakdancing, because the breakdancing is in the Olympics now, or was on the Olympics for the first time this year.
Yeah, and I think the last time too. I think they already canned it.
Well, if you had watched this lady, just go on Twitter, type in Australian breakdancing. All you have to do is type in Australia, and it's the first thing that pops up. This poor woman. Oh my God. She gets, I mean, it is, I don't even know how to, it looks like she's trying to swim on land. How this woman got picked, I have no idea. It's probably one of my favorite things I've ever watched in a long time.
That's too good. Oh man. All right. Well, this was a lot of fun, Greg. We really appreciate you hopping on here.
At least it was for one of us.
I'm trying to think, if Gus, do you have any closing questions here for Greg? Pretty excited to see you next week. Hoping for a good bite at Tonka. I know you've had some success there in the past, so you know, I might have to pick your brain at the rules meeting a little bit. We'll see how our week shapes up, but excited to get out there. I think a lot of fish are going to be caught. You know, hopefully the weather, we'll see what it does. I mean, I'm kind of praying for some, maybe a little bit crappier weather and keep some of the pleasure boaters off the lake, but we'll see. It's going to be what it's going to be, but yeah, looking forward to getting over there and seeing everybody.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. It'll be good. And yeah, if anybody's listening and they want to come up to Lake of the Woods, I got a few days left in September, and then I've got some onesie twosie stuff I'm filling in October and early November. You know, for the live bait stuff that I do out in western Minnesota. The problem is, you never know what the temps are going to be and how long you're going to get to make it. So, but if anybody's interested, you can get a hold of me. You can shoot me a text. Text is the way easier. 606-776-6729. And get a hold of me if you want to go or something. It'd be fun. And then also you can hear Gus's amazing angelic voice on and me fall asleep on
Greg,
the Musky Road Rules podcast. Which is, you know, it's known by some as the worst one ever created, and I stand by it.
And don't short yourself. There's so many people I talk to that absolutely love your podcast every time it comes out.
You do remember I was in the top 1% of listeners there for a while.
You were. Yeah. I'm very glad you got a chance to do that.
Thank you.
That makes me excited. But no, it'll be good though. But we'll be, I'll see you guys next week. I'll be the guy in the shitty looking blue boat. Hopefully, finding a fish.
Hopefully with the net in the water.
Yeah, that'll be good. Chase got mad at me today because we just netted a pike, a big pike, and I put the net over his head. He wasn't real happy with me.
Oh, yeah. Yummy.
Oh, yeah. Nice. He looked better. But,
nice.
But yeah, no, guys, hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
And let's do it again sometime. I'm sure I'll say something to piss somebody off, so we need to get that on tape.
Perfect. It's all on recording.
Yes.
Well, thanks again, Greg. Good luck out there until we see you at Tonka. And yeah, thanks again. Check out all of Greg's stuff. Battle of the Beast, Road Rules. Hit him up to go fishing. He catches big fish, musky hunter, all that good stuff. So
we'll see. Thanks, what Greg. Happens. All right, guys. Take care. See ya.
You too. Bye-bye.